Hello, you are listening to the Modern Web Podcast, where we explore next generation frameworks, standards, and techniques. I'm Tracy Lee at Lady Lee on Twitter, and you can find us online at modern-web.org. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Modern Web. Today, we are very fortunate to have Fred and Monica from the Polymer team joining us to talk about Polymer. Hello.
Hey, everyone.
So Ben Lesh is going to be interviewing, and Ben, you like web components.
I have a mixed history with web components.
But you like them, right?
No, I do. I like them. I mean, I like.
Phew, I thought we were gonna have to fight about this.
Of course, I like all web technologies. Yeah, I mean, I missed the blink tag. That's how much I like web technologies. So
I love the blink tag. But you know, this is actually really great because this is going to be like an episode of Jerry Springer or what are some of the other popular ones like? Oh, I don't watch enough TV to know. But
Ricky Lake. I don't know. That's probably not still on, actually.
You're dating yourself then. Okay, so first things first, Monica, I saw you just wrote a really cool sort of short guide for writing. No, that was Rob. I'm getting myself mixed up.
It's true.
Yeah, so Rob just wrote a short guide for custom elements, and I'm excited to play with that in Angular 2. And then I saw you wrote a really cute little pocket guide. I'm only saying cute because it says pocket guide.
Pocket guide is much cuter. I'm going to consult you on blog titles. I called it a cheat sheet because it's shit that I copy-paste whenever I don't remember what the syntax is.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I can't remember it and I wrote the syntax, then...
Which is what everyone's really looking for when they search anything for online.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that thing is super helpful.
Pocket guide or cheat sheet? I don't know. Polymer said helpful pocket guide, so... You gotta consult whoever's tweeting from Polymer.
Oh, that Wendy! No, they don't give me the keys to Polymer. It's probably for the best.
Drunk tweeting everywhere. Ben, I know you had a few questions for the team.
Well, yeah. Here's the first thing is why is your build broken? I went to GitHub. It says build failing on master. Come on, guys. The shout out is to Kevin P. Schaff. It's either Kevin P. Schaff or it's Kevin Pschaff.
Yeah, I like Pschaff a lot. I think it's P. Schaff, but Pschaff is way better. You know, code tests. Travis is not our friend nowadays. Yeah. It's not Travis's fault. It's ours.
All right. Well, I just thought I'd point it out in front of everybody because that's fun.
Thanks. Maybe it just failed an I-10, Ben. Maybe it's fine.
Yeah, really. Bring out Travis.
All right. Well, let's just okay. We'll assume that some of the people that are listening to this may not know what Polymer is, or they might know what it is. They probably know what it is, but they just know it's like Polymer is web components, right? So. How is Polymer different from just web components?
So I like to make this analogy that sometimes resonates with people is that Polymer is to web components what jQuery was sort of to the web 10 years ago, where web components are a spec, they're a thing that the browser is implementing, and Polymer is a library that helps you write web components. It adds a lot of sugaring so that when you write them, it's easy, things like magical data binding and a nice declarative way to, you know, do some of the DOM things that in vanilla custom elements, you might have to do this in JavaScript.
Okay, cool. So I'm gonna jump right into one of the things that got me about web components. So maybe a few years ago, I was working on data visualizations, and one of the things that I work on involved building composable components that are nested inside of SVG. So the idea is that you can create a component that's meant to live inside of the SVG namespace. But I found out I couldn't really do that with web components. Does Polymer help me with that?
I don't think Polymer would help you with that, because if it didn't work with web components, that means that there's this kind of spec problem there. So I don't know about SVG, but I know about forms, for example. So a form is like a way in which you can submit data to a server. But the problem with forms is that they literally only track an input element. So they actually look for the tag input. And if they find an element with that tag, that's what they use. So you can try to put a custom element inside a form all you want. The parser of the form that lives in the browser is like, don't care about your custom element. It has a different tag that is an input. So a similar problem might be having with SVG. But Polymer can't help you with that because that's not sort of extra code that you need to write, it's like a problem with the parser inside the browser that just doesn't care about custom elements at this point.
Right, right. The problem with SVG is actually similar. It's more that SVG is a totally different namespace from HTML.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't recognize things like the what's the tag that you use to tell it where to insert content. Is it like a content tag or something like that?
Either way, it doesn't
recognize that. So that was one of the few issues that came up when I was trying to work with SVG. The other thing is if you have just like random SVG elements inside of a template that are not inside of an SVG tag, when the browser goes through and parses it, they come through as HTML unknown element. So,
right.
Yeah. So that's gets a little wacky. Do you know if there's any plans on fixing SVG with web components?
I think there's a plan on fixing everything with web components. It's just a very slow process because, like currently, if you think about it, web components aren't implemented in most of the browsers. Like Safari just shipped Shadow DOM. And they have custom elements in like Safari Tech Preview, but we don't know when that's going to go live. So right now you basically have Chrome that's implemented everything you need for a web component and no other browser, which means other browsers fixing problems that you have with web components is like a little bit further into the future. We need them to get web components out first.
Right on, right on. So yeah, I am... I have to apologize because I'm asking all my meanest questions first, but we'll get to the...
Yeah, these are tricky questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben, did you create this podcast just so that you could find an answer to this SVG problem?
No.
And then like once you find it, once someone says yes, podcast over, you can die happy.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to hang up as soon as that.
One day.
Right. So there's recently I've noticed on Twitter, I didn't really take too much part in this, but I've seen what appears to be a little bit of how do I put this, animosity between folks in the Polymer community and folks in the other framework communities, and I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that, or if you'd witnessed that, or I just wonder what your thoughts on that are.
Oh man, I'm the nicest person on Twitter. So there exist people who will get into any framework argument over Twitter, the best medium to get into an argument, because why not communicate something in tiny broken sentences? But I think if you look at any framework, anybody will have like pro opinions or con opinions. So it's very easy for framework people to get into arguments. I personally don't think it's very constructive. I think everybody should be nice to each other because we're all just trying to make apps for the web and the web better. And I personally don't care if you use Polymer or not, or if you even like web components or not. It's a thing that I like. And if you don't think it's useful for you, I think that's fine. There's a lot of things that aren't useful on the web for me. So we all just like want to use whatever tool that helps us make our life better. Stop fighting on Twitter, people.
Yeah. So you're saying you wouldn't jump on Twitter and call frameworks legacy or anything like that, right?
Oh God, no. I don't. The only thing I jump on Twitter about is emoji.
I'm so sorry. I don't want you guys to think of being extra mean. These are questions that other people might have, and I would like.
No, these are good questions. I feel like part of the Twitter back and forth is like almost sport. Like, I'm, you know, from Framework X, and I want, you know, everyone, you want to talk about how good that is. And then someone from Framework Y says, well, Framework Y is the best. And there's this kind of sport to it. Sometimes I think it veers off of that kind of we're all web developers friendly back and forth and into a more personal territory. But I like to think that it all starts from a kind of just friendly back and forth, almost like a sport.
I think it's funny, too, because there's a lot of... Well, okay. I mean, I think we're a sort of deviating subject here, but it's funny because there's a lot of people who are really abrasive on Twitter, but then really, really, really nice.
That's part of it. That's all part of it.
Right. But, you know, to counterbalance that, I know there's been a lot of work and a lot of excitement within the GDE community about how to use Polymer in Angular 2. So are you guys part of that initiative? And I mean, I think that's really cool. That's definitely something that I want to test out next year.
Yeah, I think Rob has done this before where he interops Polymer elements with other frameworks. And I know that this is not exactly Polymer related, but Adi Osmani did a lot of work recently trying to do like PWAs in different frameworks and giving advice on how to do that more. So that's definitely a thing that we look at, because one of the things that we try to advertise custom elements as is that they're not a framework dependent. So you can write a custom element in Polymer, for example, and then use it in a React app or an Angular app. And if that isn't true, that's just because we don't have a lot of experience writing Angular apps. So we need help from the community to do that. But that's definitely a thing that we really want to make sure we get right.
Yeah, it's actually so funny you asked that, because I was just working yesterday with someone who's trying to do just that, some Angular 2 and Polymer interop. I'm trying to decide if I should give him a shout out or read what he said and potentially throw him under the bus.
Throw him under a bus.
So I won't say his name, but someone who's really a close part of the community. He said, I was trying out Angular 2 and it felt like I could have done pretty much everything directly on the web platform without having to deal with the Angular platform and the complexity it brings with it. And he's trying to get them kind of to play together and build together and just seeing how they could maybe interop.
So this is the use the platform mantra, right? Like I've heard this from a few high profile people, usually related to Polymer, but not directly from the Polymer folks. What do you think about the use the platform thing? I mean, considering that a lot of these frameworks are built because the platform is in a lot of ways unusable for some people's needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on the use the platform idea or concept?
Okay, well, I think that we like the platform because we work so close with it. It can do a lot of the things that we've always had to just historically fall back on platforms. And now for the first time, it's starting to actually be able to handle these more complex ideas of you know, componentizing things and handling your data as it passes through. So I think we really like to see that, and we really want to promote that. And that just kind of is a part of that message, is that we want that to, you know, be something that we cherish and promote, and not just fall back on those ideas that, well, you need this and that to get anything powerful on the web.
I'm kind of a big fan of like use the platform, just because I'm a lazy developer. So if I can do less work, that's great. And if it looks like that specific work should be done by a browser, then I think the browser should do it, because it's going to be consistent. Which is why like we push so hard for browsers to fix like CSS implementations and flex implementations and things like that, versus trying to write polyfills on top of it and just be like, well, browser gets it wrong, that's fine, I'll just write a lot of code to fix it, which I think is nonsense. So this is one of the things with like custom elements, where somebody was like, wouldn't it be nice if you had CSS encapsulation in a widget? And you were like, but I can do this with iframes. And they were like, wait, but what if the browser helped you do that? Which is what I think Use the Platform came from. Like, why don't we let these browsers that are the platform that do these things for us just, you know, do more things for us and do them better?
I think that's the first time I've heard browsers inconsistent in the same sentence before.
Christmas is coming. I have dreams.
Maybe I'm just old, I think.
Yeah, one thing that feels really similar, I've been hacking with React a little bit and using Webpack, and you get this feeling like, you know, when you start thinking of the platform as something that you can work with instead of against, you start thinking like, well, what if I didn't have to bundle all this stuff into one big bundle? And, you know, what if I could get rid of the complexity in the browser and the server could just work together to deliver all these things, you know, at the same time? And that's what HTTP2 and push and all these projects are kind of trying to, you realize that like some of these things that we've just always done, the browser and the server could be doing for you. And so I'm really excited about that aspect of it.
Yeah, I have like mixed opinions on HTTP2 and push. Like in most cases, I think academically, like, yeah, this is going to be really good. But some part of me wonders how well that's going to stand up in the face of the fact that, you know, HTTP2 isn't going to install like a good connection in your area, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, if you've got a slow connection, like it very well might be that one slightly larger package is going to work out for you a little bit better than like 17 requests where one of them might fail, right?
Yeah, I think that's valid.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know honestly enough about mobile networking or anything to comment intelligently on that.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting thing. One of the questions I had for you about Polymer was that Polymer uses HTML imports for a lot of stuff, and you know, that differs so wildly from what most of the front-end web development community is doing right now with, you know, Webpack and these other things. Can people still, you know, like build or bundle things or minify their code? I noticed that a lot of those HTML import files will have like inline script tags, which, you know, to a lot of people, at least in the documentation, that's what it shows. To a lot of people, they'll look at it and be like, whoa, I don't know if that's really something I want to be doing, or how do I go about, you know, kind of compressing these things?
Yeah, I definitely had that same reaction when I, you know, first started looking at Polymer. Like, you know, inline code, inline CSS, JavaScript. There's definitely that gut reaction, but that a lot of that comes from how web components and the spec is kind of developed. I think JavaScript and CSS both at one point had to be inline to get it to work at all, just to make sure that there was no deduplication and or duplication rather. But yeah, so on the tools team, which I'm a part of, that's a lot of what we do is bringing that same kind of experience to a world where you're not just calling require and there's this big, really dynamic loading, either compile step or loading actual, you know, loading step where it finds what you need to load. The thing about HTML imports and JavaScript, actually the JavaScript community is going to have to deal with this as well. I believe the current spec for module loading is static URLs. So you can no longer do require the module name, you need to do like the path to it. I don't know how long that will remain or if that is like the final path, but anyway, we have to do a lot of work to get that to work in a way that a user can work with and use it well, a good developer experience. And then for the inline part, a lot of what we do is actually giving you tools to still feel like you can use the tools you're familiar with in that world. So, you know, if you try and run ESLint or a CSS minifier, some of them don't work the same way if it's inline. And so we built a lot of tooling around splitting those out, letting you run the tools you want to run on your CSS, on your JavaScript, as if it's inline, as if it's standalone, and then plugging it back into your code. So a lot of things to give you a familiar developer experience to help you kind of code in that style.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think a lot of the frameworks right now are going with an approach that I think currently is coined as code splitting, where they'll like the bundling process itself will identify dependencies and what can be loaded asynchronously based off of your view and kind of split code up that way. So you're still only pulling down the bare minimal amount of what you need to see that initial view.
Right.
So the initial view thing is another interesting thing that would differ between like web components and frameworks. Like a lot of frameworks right now are trying to optimize so you can render, you know, that initial screen on the server and then deliver just straight HTML5 style HTML down to the browser and, you know, kind of run some very minimal JavaScript code to kind of wire things up. But like the initial load is you see all of the HTML immediately and you can start interacting with it before the framework is done initializing or whatever. Polymer, on the other hand, clearly has to run JavaScript to even render components like when you first start, at least it seems to. Is there any answer for that for Polymer for like server-side rendering? Are you guys working on anything like that?
Before we talk about server-side rendering, so just because Polymer needs to render, Polymer needs to load to render your web component doesn't mean your web component can't have a fallback. So what we do in a lot of our apps is we have a thing, like we distribute content inside of a web component, which means that like in the HTML that you initially load, in the index.html, whatever, you have a custom element tag and inside of it a whole bunch of content. So if the parser doesn't know what that custom element is because Polymer hasn't loaded or the polyfill hasn't loaded, then it's just going to parse everything inside it. So your page is still going to look interactive. It's still going to look like what it's supposed to while you're actually waiting for Polymer to load. So that's a trick that we do a lot.
Sure, that makes sense. That makes sense. It's still a little different from having like the actual view data rendered in like you know, fully interactive, like up front, right?
Sure. So I think Rob did an experiment with server-side rendering custom element.
Yeah, that project exists somewhere.
So it's not. Yeah, given that if the browser speaks custom elements are just HTML, so you can just render them and send them correctly. You can like unpack them from the shadow DOM or whatever. I would check out that project for sure. I think it's under his GitHub, Rob Dodson.
Sure, sure. I'm imagining it probably works something like what you were just saying, where you would, you know, on the server, you would do some initial render inside of the custom element, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, kind of defer the load of or all of the interactions with that until Polymer loads, something like that. I could see how that's working. That's interesting. So that's server side render. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm just abusing you right now. what's coming up? Well, actually, as long as we're still in the same vein of like talking about Polymer and other frameworks, what sort of lessons has Polymer learned from other frameworks? I think that a lot of people have the view that Polymer is at odds with their favorite frameworks, which are, you know, wildly popular right now. But what is, like, as these frameworks are evolving, what is Polymer kind of paid attention to?
We pay attention to things like server-side rendering. We pay attention to interop with other frameworks. So one of the things that I was recently reading is that, given that I know nothing about React, apparently you use these, like, magical on event handlers in React, where, like, basically everything has an on something event handler, and that's not exactly what a Polymer element does by default. So we looked at that requirement where people were like, I want to use a Polymer element inside my React app, but I have to write my event listener in JavaScript. Can you fix that? And like, we looked at ways in which we can fix that, because again, Polymer tries very hard not to be a framework. It tries not to make decisions about how you should write your app. We just help you write web components, and once you do that, all you can look about at other frameworks is how they make components and how they make elements, not at like their routers or things like that.
I think another thing that got me really excited in the beginning of the year when I was talking to Rob about Polymer was the fact that you guys now have a CLI. And I definitely think that all the frameworks, if you just look at Ember CLI, then Angular CLI, CLIs are my favorite thing, but you have the Ember CLI, then you got the Angular CLI, now you have Create React App, and Polymer CLI was sort of released in between, I think, after Angular CLI. How's that project been going, and how has that helped the community? And
yeah, well, as someone who works on that CLI, and the tools that power it, thank you for that. A little CLI plug. It's going well. We're in this process getting ready for Polymer 2.0, which let us rethink some of those tools that we've always been using. And we've been rewriting a lot of the lower pieces. So we have an analyzer that can analyze your web components and spit out metadata about them. That ends up powering our linter, our builder. And it's this huge push now that that's nearing completion. We all of a sudden have unlocked like all these really powerful things. So one of the things I work a lot on is building your app. You have your full dev environment and you want to build a nice bundle similar to something like Webpack, where it, you know, gets rid of the files you don't need, only keeps the files you do need. Bundles it if you're in a non-HTTP2 push world and gives you all these different options for how you want to build your app. That's all powered by this new analyzer. So it's really, really awesome. It can tell you if you have errors in your code, errors in your Polymer element. And so we're kind of in tandem with the Polymer 2.0 push, trying to get those to like a V1, really stable, really good user experience. As we've been updating things, you know, there's been some movement to new commands and new syntaxes. So it's still definitely pre-release beta, but we're working really closely with the community of people who are trying that out, and it's been pretty rewarding.
One super badass thing about the, sorry, I'm just going to butt in here, about the CLI that it does, is that it can load basically like a template for an app. So one of the templates that we use is like a starter kit, where if you run like, I don't know, Polymer CLI init something, it basically like creates a little app for you that you can start off. So it has like routes set up and a service worker set up and a build pipeline set up and, you know, different views so that you can start implementing it. So by running like one command, you get this like mini app that is probably going to be the basis of your app anyway, which is amazing because that's the laziest thing you can do in the universe.
Yeah, we've seen a ton of, and we opened it up so that anyone could, you know, write and publish their own generators. And we've seen a ton of different users. If you're looking in for like a nice intro into our tools, definitely check out our tooling keynote from Polymer Summit. That has a great overview of all our tools. We use the CLI as kind of like an introduction to all these different things we do. It's really great. Everyone on the team talks a little bit about different parts of it. But yeah, I'm trying to think of some other favorites. The init one is really cool to see these communities of ES6 powered apps, Google App Engine ready, templates, all these different things from elements to applications.
Well, I feel like you guys are going to hate me because I keep asking these mean questions. So,
Can Tracy keep asking questions?
Yeah, I know. I know, and it's really, it's me.
Yeah, Ben, are you part of the problem? Are you the person who's mean on Twitter? Be honest now.
Yes, I'm like the evil, manipulative Twitter Sith Lord. They don't realize that I'm causing it, but it's me. No, we were talking just like a few minutes ago about how, you know, Polymer is not really a framework, and it doesn't have a lot of opinions about whatever. It just enables you to write web components. But the CLI thing makes it sound kind of frameworky, unless I'm misunderstanding. Does the CLI enable you to, add components to an existing project that might already have its own CLI?
Oh, absolutely. The CLI just inits a thing for you where, like, you can start from scratch if you want to. I hate starting from scratch because I'm staring at this, like, HTML page being like, oh, my God, it has nothing in it. If you want to start with, like, a base sample application, you can. If you want to start to write your element from like an empty file and write every tag by hand, you can. If you don't, the Polymer CLI is like, init me a sample element, and then you can start from that. If you want to use whatever, sorry?
So you could have like an Angular, I'm sorry, you could have like an Angular 2 CLI app, and you could then use Polymer CLI to add a Polymer component to that app.
For sure. Yeah, so the Polymer, like the CLI for the element, will just create a file that has the right name and has like a DOM module at the top and a script somewhere and a style tag. It doesn't, like, it only tries to help you. If you don't want to use it, you don't have to use it. I've written like Polymer apps without ever touching the CLI just fine.
Yeah, I think one big thing that we go into this in the tooling keynote, is that, you know, our primary goal is to support the Polymer community. But the secondary thing we've kind of realized as we built these tools is that we're building tools not just for Polymer, but for web components. So whatever that means to you, if you're building an app that uses Polymer for routing and all these, you know, more frameworky ideas, that's great. We support that. If you're just building a little element, a little web component that doesn't do, you know, a ton, maybe it's not even powered by Polymer, that's great too. A lot of these tools will work for everything. So we try not to tell you what you should be building or what you should be testing and give you different things about that. We try and leave it open-ended and let you build an application, an element, whatever it is you're working on. We want to support you.
What's the state management story like with Polymer? So a lot of some frameworks come with some sort of pre-built state management paradigm that they use. Like Ember has, you know, the Ember object model and that sort of thing. Angular 1, of course, had, you know, these like scope and these other ways that it was, and like dirty checking and things that it used for state management. And then of course React is more just a rendering layer, and they, you know, people have leveraged like Redux and some other things for state management. Like what are people doing with Polymer for state management?
I think that's a hard question because Polymer doesn't exactly have an opinion on that. It has data. So data flows down through properties. And it fires events if you want it to. But how you build your element internally is kind of your choice. So if you want your element, for example, to be stateless, you can. A lot of HTML elements that I write are not stateless, which is not necessarily the greatest. But again, it's just, think of an element as like a pile of JavaScript and then some HTML rendered on top of it. How you construct it is kind of your decision. I don't know if that helps at all as an answer.
It does help a little bit. It makes me wonder, like, maybe I'm just thinking about Polymer wrong. Like, is it that I would make I would create some custom component that is my app, and then inside of that there would be a bunch of other custom components that are also Polymer?
Or sure.
Is it that I really just create custom components for where I need a custom component, and then I write my app however I want outside of that? Like, which one?
Yeah, Ben, I was about to say, it really helps to not think of Polymer as a framework for building applications. It's a frame. You even need to use the F framework word, the F word. It's, you know, it helps you. It's a framework for building web components. It helps you build web components. That you can go on to build an application out of those, which is what we've done with a lot of stuff. But we try not to dictate one way to do state, one way to pass data. What we like to see is when there are these different things that come up around that web component community for passing state around. Someone built something similar to Flux or Redux for Polymer elements or for a web component project. That's awesome. That's really cool. So Polymer is, you know, trying to help you build web components, not trying to help you build an application with a certain specific way of passing state and handling state.
Okay. So when would you use a framework then?
For building an application?
Would you actually use a framework, or would you just try to leverage just plain JavaScript and web components?
So I am a big fan of leveraging plain JavaScript because I haven't really found a need to use a framework. So here's the thing. For my Polymer Summit talk, somebody had a great idea, and it was awful because I had never done this before. They were like, think of every app that you use, every web app that you use on a daily basis. Try to make it that and talk about how hard it was to make it. So I looked at things like Twitter and Facebook and Gmail and basically anything that wasn't a game. And they're all some set of views on a data, and you can interact with that data, right? And then I was like, cool, I'm going to build this app. And I just literally did it from the bottom up. And I was like, well, I'm going to need a list of posts, and you can click on the post. So the post is probably going to be an element, and the list of posts is going to be an element. And it, like, the different views are just different, you know, HTML pages that you lazily load. And I built this entire app that is, like, online. It's called mojibrag.appspot.com. No, mojibrag.firebaseapp.com. And it's basically like a Slack Twitter that only lets you type emoji. But I, at no point did I need a framework. Like, there's an element that helps you authenticate to Firebase. There's a bunch of elements that help you automatically sync data from Firebase and put it, like, and have it offline. There's a service worker that doesn't need a framework. So all of these things just came and happened without me needing a framework at any point.
Interesting, interesting. So, I think usually when I think of the benefits of frameworks in those cases, it comes to, like, larger apps, like much larger apps than, say, something like, you know, Twitter or the like, where you've got tons of different views, and maybe you have cached data that you want to keep for those specific views. You know, maybe some of the data is cached and some of it comes in streaming. I don't know. There's a couple of, I think a lot of the apps, I agree with you, a good 50% of the apps that I've written probably could have been written without a framework.
Yeah.
But I think the other 50%, like, I wouldn't really want to do it without a framework, because I'd end up in the end building my own ad hoc framework, right? Where it was like a combination of somebody else's router or something that I built, and then a bunch of other, you know, component code and so on.
For sure. So I think at that point it's totally fine to use a framework. I think that what I've noticed, I've spoken to, like, a lot of junior devs who, like, have to build something very simple, and they'll be like, hey, Monica, do you think I should use, like, React or Polymer for this? And I'm like, I don't think you should use either. I think you have, like, one HTML file that's probably going to do some rendering, and you don't need a framework. So I think it's really good when you start building your application to sort of think what your application needs to do and only add things to it if you need it. So maybe you don't even need any web components on your page. Start with an HTML page, HTML file. Does it look like it needs web components? Then start using web components. Does it look like the JavaScript that you're writing is too complicated and you want a different library and framework to help you with it? Go use a framework. Just, like, bring them in as you need them, rather than, like, go in gung-ho and be like, I'm going to use, like, I don't know, React and Ember and, like, 17 other things for this just because I've heard of them. That's the thing that really worries me about the web.
That's like, I remember about a year ago, me and Ben sat down, and I was like, Ben, teach me ArcGIS right now. And he's like, how about we learn JavaScript? I want to use ArcGIS, and I think I wanted to use it in Angular 2 or Ember at the time. He's like, how about we start with a Jasmine?
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people try to use things because they've heard of them and because they're cool. And it, like, you think it makes your life easy. But I have a friend who's, like, been adding React to his app, and he's, like, stuck in this, like, loop where Relay doesn't work and React doesn't work, and, like, his shit doesn't render for, like, days on end. And I'm like, I don't know, dude, did you really need Relay there?
Yeah, to circle, I guess, just back to Ben, what you were talking about as a framework and data passing, how do you handle state? Polymer has ideas for how you do that within, you know, a web component, and you have properties. We certainly have built larger apps. I know we have a full store that we built, a shop template, if you want to check that out on GitHub. There are ideas that you start bringing into your application as you build it. Polymer tries not to say this is the one true way to write a web component and to pass state or X or Y. It is more that model where you bring in, let's say you want to use Redux, but with Polymer, you use that idea and you build your web components accordingly. built off of those lower tools like event passing, property updating, et cetera.
Sure, sure. I hope you guys don't mind. I keep harping on the framework thing. I think as you know, as an external, you know, viewer of what's going on with Polymer, because I don't know, like I'd say that the majority of front end developers right now are using frameworks. I don't think anyone's really going to dispute that at this point. It's the thing. Like someone's either using Angular 1 or 2 or React or, you know, and I think in lesser cases Ember, even though Ember is a fantastic framework. I don't think that Polymer's usage is quite up to those numbers, but it's certainly wildly popular. I know there's a couple of larger internal apps here at Netflix that are written mostly with Polymer. What I feel like I see as an external like viewer of these things is kind of a clash between Polymer and all the other frameworks. Not so much because the other frameworks don't like Polymer, but it seems like the other way around, like a somewhat adversarial thing. And it's interesting to me because Polymer is a Google project, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so is Angular.
I think that's just people on the internet being silly.
That's true. One of the folks in particular is a Polymer team member, which is why it has that.
Is it Justin?
I didn't say that. All my interactions with everyone on the Polymer team have been positive. But just what I've read sometimes looks a little bit antagonistic.
I think this feeds in. This might just be my personal, you know, this is my approach. But I think we're trying to play a little bit of a different game. We want to build something that helps you write web components. And then we also want you to build that out into an application with data passing and all these features that you'd go to a framework to find. I think what a lot of other software like React or especially Angular and Ember, they want to help you build, you know, they want to give you a framework for building an application. And then you can also build components and elements within that. You can also publish a React element. So we're kind of, it ends up being two different like kind of entry points to the same problem. And there's definitely overlap. In terms of what everyone can do. But it's hard to, I know one thing I see is that it's, oh, well, Polymer isn't, you know, it doesn't do this natively that all other frameworks do. So it, you know, is inferior. While that's not really the game we're trying to play. We're trying to be a way to build really good web components. And of course, a part of that would be a system of building web components that could be an application. But that's not our direct goal. That's kind of the secondary, result of doing that. That might just be my personal. I don't think that's etched in stone anywhere.
And I just want to, I think that I just want to go back to like this, don't take one person's possibly loud opinion on Twitter to be like the Bible. There's like 40 people working on Polymer, maybe like, I don't know, 100 people working on Angular. If you took one person on Twitter and be like, well, that must be the dogma of the team, then I think you'd have a very different impression of teams. So...
Sure, sure. Well, in all fairness, I know these things. I am merely asking because people who listen to this may not. And I think that, you know, it's kind of some of the more interesting bits for people that would want to listen to you guys talk about Polymer is, you know, a lot of these folks out there, they just rabidly love their framework or a framework. I'm actually not like that. I've used every framework. The only thing I haven't used is Polymer. I tried to use it on that aforementioned SVG project and it didn't meet my needs, right? So I had to move to something else. I'm harping on it mostly because I think it's the main central curiosity point for people that want to hear about Polymer. But, you know, on to other things, I think that things like the CLI are extremely interesting. And I also would like to hear about, I know you've been doing some work recently trying to get Firebase integration, is that right? Are you guys doing something with the Firebase team in Polymer?
Oh God, yeah, we have a whole bunch of elements that make it really easy to integrate with Firebase. So we have one element, which is basically like one HTML element you drop in your page and it, you know, sets up authentication and does an OAuth handshake with your favorite provider on Firebase. So I use that literally 100% of the time because I don't know how to write successful OAuth code. I don't think anybody really does.
I don't think the original authors of the OAuth spec could do it, honestly.
Yeah, there's very few things that I felt so dumb as setting up OAuth in any project that I've got. So this one's delightful because basically you create a project in Firebase and you're like, hey, would love to authenticate with GitHub. And then you put this element on your page and say, provider equals GitHub. And that's it. You've got authentication, which is delightful in my opinion. There's a whole bunch of elements that let you talk to a database and get data from a database and specifically cache that data offline from the database so that you can use it and serve it as if it was live. And that's pretty great.
That actually sounds really awesome.
Yeah, that was definitely a big like aha moment for me as you put this Firebase auth element in your app and all of a sudden you're connected to Firebase. And you know, none of the like usual go around with OAuth. It was just, you know, an element. The fact that an element could do this for your app was kind of, you know, a big, oh wow, this is cool moment.
Yeah, it's kind of that magical way where like the first time you use a form and you put a form and a bunch of inputs and you were like, method equals get, URL or action equals whatever. And then it submits your data to the server. And you're like, oh my God, all I did was write 5 lines of HTML. And I've now submitted, you know, my favorite cat's name to a server. That's basically the promise and the joy of web components. You don't have to write the web components. You can just use somebody else's. So you can like, just like how you drop a form on your page, you can just drop this Firebase element and then it does all the heavy lifting. It does all the work for you. And then you just get, you know, magical OAuth. Why wouldn't you want that in your life?
I think also just in terms of some of the things that we have planned for the new year, for this.javascript, Rob is going to be joining us and a bunch of other frameworks and libraries. And we're going to be talking about just sort of like state of whatever's happening. So
yay!
I'm really passionate about getting everybody to sort of be collaborating together and, you know, what's coming, what's new. And I think it's really cool for everybody. This is going to happen, I believe, in January. And it'll be really cool to, number one, hear from things that are going on in Vue, Ember, React, Rx, Angular, etc., Polymer. And then hopefully what comes of that is more cross-collaboration between the different frameworks and learnings. But also, you know, I mean, kudos to you guys. Like, I think in any team, especially external-facing teams, you guys... sometimes there's things that you need to overcome, like perception of maybe one or two different team members. And I think this happens in all communities, right? Like, we all know that React has some very strongly opinionated people that people might not take well to. So I feel like React has to deal with that. And it sounds like in Polymer, there might be some of that too. So I think it's great for you guys to step up and be a great voice for Polymer too.
The RxJS team doesn't have anybody like that.
The mean one.
Ben, if I've learned anything, it can be you. Anything from this, it could be you. No, yeah. And I cannot wait to pass that feedback back to who I think we're all talking about on the Polymer side.
We're not talking about anybody. This was a fictitious character. It didn't.
Well, what I think is also great is now I have a reason to write a Polymer song with Ben.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Oh.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Do you guys know that me and Ben write songs together? I'm very excited to hear about this now.
Oh boy. you're not getting me to sing right now. I'm in a public space. Not doing it.
So tell me what you want. What you really, really want. Come on, Ben. No.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm sorry.
I'll sing one of them. I'll sing like one.
No. I think after this, Ben has to join.
My face is already beet red. I'm not doing anything right now.
Ben, you definitely owe us a song because you picked on Polymer for the last hour. So you need to give back.
Yeah.
Give back to the community.
I didn't mean to. We can get even. You can tell me why observables suck, and we'll just call it a day. How's that?
I would never. I'm really nice. I'm Canadian.
Oh, that's true.
That's true. Canadians are nice. I'm like, oh, you're a Canadian. You have an engineering ring on. I like you.
And just because I don't like whatever you're using doesn't mean it's bad. You can just use whatever you want.
I like all of them. I love the fact that with CLIs, I'm able to like live code up 3 apps in 20 minutes. Like literally.
Yeah.
I just don't like that Ben isn't singing right now.
I know. I'll end this with just like one song that we wrote on the Rubber Ducky song. It goes, it's about Redux.
Ben, I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to do it.
I'll sing it. Don't worry. Okay. React, Ducky.
If I was in a meeting room, I might, but I'm sitting in the hallway. I'm not going to do it.
Can we edit it into the end of this when Ben is able to find a private space?
Well, you know, I have a video of it. I actually have a lot of videos of Ben singing. I'll link it to you later.
Okay, perfect.
I tell you what, you guys just message me your phone numbers and I will sing to you over the phone individually.
Wait, how come I don't get this pleasure, Ben?
Like you don't.
Oh, wait, hold on. That's right. I do remember now that I do get videos like that. Although not so much recently. It's because you're just like so angry at Polymer that you're like, God damn it, Tracy, I'm not.
You're right. It ruins my mood every day. So I don't say anymore.
If I don't know what Polymer did to you in the past, but if he like send you a cupcake, will you love us again?
Yes. No. I love you all. Well, Rob Dodson alone is reason enough to love you guys. So that's good.
That is very true.
That is a valid point. Bob Dodd is a champion.
Well, also with what about if we can, like, Ben, can we do something where we, like, play with Polymer and use Rx to, like, manage state or something?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just have to know what I was doing with Polymer. No, I've used it in the past. It's just been a while. We could do it.
I like making Ben pair with me on weird things. Like, we've been playing around with a pun app, and what do we do? We've been adding Firebase, like, trying to figure out how to get the real-time database to work with Angular 2.
She asks me to pair with her as though I'm the expert on things that I've never used before, which is always good.
Yeah, you can watch these videos of Ben pairing with me on things. And, like, so funny, this one time we paired on Ember together, and I was like, Ben, I need help adding this thing. And we paired on for, like, an hour, and then we called in our friend Jay and our friend Taras, and Taras, like, refactored the entire thing, like, in, like, 5 minutes. So... yeah.
If only there was a custom element that would connect to your Firebase app automatically. Oh, that would be powerful.
Right? I just turn off authentication. So there's that.
Oh yeah, that too. That works too.
Perfect.
Security.
Who needs that?
Well, I hope Ben wasn't actually that mean to y'all.
This is great. It was awesome.
No, I'm so happy. I mean, I'm really happy to have you guys on the podcast, and Ben is as well. We were really excited to talk to you guys. We've been talking about it for a few days. Monica, it's great to see, I have to say it, but it's really great to see more female leaders in the industry, and you've been doing really cool stuff. Like, I love your emoji stuff. It reminds me of Sam Ciccone's emoji brush thing, which Ben is like prolific on. Have you seen his emoji brush
stuff? Components too, actually.
Emoji brush is amazing. Yeah, it was actually really cool after Google I/O. Sam and I were hanging out, and somebody didn't believe that I was an emojineer. I was like, "Why are you an emojineer?" And I was like, "We do a lot of dumb shit." And then both Sam and I produced like 4 projects in a row, that, like emoji related, that we just had hanging out. So it's good. Emoji for life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love emoji brush. I'm for a while I was like, I think I was their number one customer.
I think Emoji Brush needs to be more popular.
I honestly don't know if I played with this before. I know.
Emoji Brush, that's something.
What have I been doing with my life?
It's literally, I'm not even kidding you when I say it's on my home screen, like my home screen on my Android phone. Like,
oh my God, look at this.
Yeah. I mean,
listener, it is moji-brush.com.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to send you some of the artwork that I've done. Or maybe I got an idea. I'll try to get like.
I'm doing it right now with a turtle, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll do like a portrait of one of you two, in Emoji Brush.
Yes, please.
Yeah, yeah, and I'll tweet it at you.
Dude, it's so epic. One time, Ben was sitting on the toilet, and he emoji brushed toilet paper. Yeah. I gotta do this to you, Ben. I'm like, it's great. It's like embarrassed Ben.
Listen to that. Everyone listen to this podcast. It's about Ben's weird bathroom habits.
Listen, that could be the next episode. We could also have an episode on emoji. I strongly
advise that. I would love an episode on emoji. I would love it.
It's amazing.
There's a lot of big things. There's a lot of big things happening in emoji.
Well, you know, there's some interesting engineering things around emoji that people don't really consider too. Like,
yeah, emoji is really hard to get right. Yeah, the absolutely. Only reason why I care about emoji is that I try to fix it in Chrome and failed miserably.
Like, I don't even, there's weird trivia too. Like, I don't even know how many slots are available for emoji in like the latest UTF spec, nor do I even really know what the latest UTF spec even is, honestly. Like, there's,
I think we're on 10 now.
Is it UTF?
10 or 9.
10?
Unicode, not UTF.
Or yes, Unicode 10, but it's that's, is that, it's like UTF 36 or something like that? Or like, I forget what the actual encoding is for, the recommended encoding for it is, but anyway. Like, it's one of those weird topics that's incredibly interesting to me, but I don't know a whole lot about it. Clearly, because I'm talking out of my butt right now.
Like, that's cool. Well, we're totally going to have Fred and Monica, don't worry. You'll get Ben singing soon. I'll make sure of it.
All right, I'll tell you what. If you...
I can't wait. I'm going to stalk Twitter on it.
Yeah. Nothing would make me happier.
If you can get a podcast about emoji that's all about emoji, especially if we can get Sam Ciccone on it too, because he cracks me up. I will sing. I'll sing to Sam, even. I'll serenade him.
Oh, so you'll sing to Sam, but not to us, is what you're saying.
Fine. I'll sing directly to Monica. Okay. I'll sing to all of you.
Yeah. I will take that challenge.
I'll do it. Okay.
Okay, so basically you've promised me, and I actually have a Google Doc for all the songs we make. So we're going to do an emoji song, and we're going to do a polymer song.
An emoji song. Okay.
I like
it. I love it.
Alrighty. Well, thank you everybody for listening to the Modern Web Podcast. Fred, how do we find you on the internet?
Just my name, Fred K. Schott, on Twitter, GitHub, etc. And check out that tooling keynote from Polymer Summit if you're interested in Polymer tooling, all that good stuff. Yeah.
Monica, what about you? How do we find you?
I am Nod Waldorf on Twitter and GitHub and places.
Very cool. And then Ben, where can we find? We can find you on the toilet, playing with emoji brush.
That's so mean.
And singing.
I'm changing my Twitter handle to Totally Waldorf.
You can find Ben.
You're not Waldorf, you liar.
I'm Totally Waldorf.
You can find Ben at Ben Lesch on Twitter, and you can find me, Lady Leet, on Twitter. And we hope to see you on the internet and hopefully on another episode of Modern Web. Thanks, guys.
That's awesome. Thanks for having us. Bye.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. To find more podcasts, videos, and online conferences, check out modern-web.org or find us on Twitter @modernweb_. See you around the internet. Yeah! Show for you.